Hello, Rachel.
How's it going?
It's going good. You know, it's really funny.
What?
That we're acting like we just saw each other. Like, oh, hey, how are you?
I know, we've been hanging out for the past 3 hours.
We've been sitting here watching Law and Order.
No, not just Law. Oh. Any Law and Order.
Oh.
Law and Order SVU.
Yes, yeah.
But
yeah,
we'll get to that.
Okay.
The first thing that we need to talk about is the fact that we're recording at Adrian's parents' house in redacted location, and their whole fucking house smells like cherrywood barbecue, and it's driving me insane. It's like you just take a whiff, you're like, and it's just like, immediately you're like, who the fuck is like smoking?
You know what?
Smoking their barbecue, not like who's smoking cigarettes.
Who's got a smoker? What it makes me think of.
Hold on. Is it still recording?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, it's just
that's
not
just what
moving.
Happens when it runs off screen where we can't see anymore.
I never pay attention to that.
I know, because it's usually not facing you.
I know.
Just don't look at it. It's
okay.
The man behind the curtain, don't look. So it smells like when I went to Colonial Williamsburg in like ninth grade.
Okay.
And you know, it's the colonial town, so all the houses are from like the 1700s, and they all smell the way that this room smells. Which is weird, because this house is definitely not from the 1700s.
Nope.
But, as I told you, it did originally have a wood-burning potbelly stove in this room. So I feel like
but it
for however
like,
many
but
years
it smells
people...
smells like it all over.
I think that it's, like, infused in the house from that thing. I really think it is.
That's fair.
It's probably,
but
like,
if you...
in the rafters and, like, the
that's fair. If you wood. Hear me just going, like... throughout the podcast, it's because I'm like, I'm really hungry and I'm
you're,
just like ready to chop on some cherrywood smoked barbecue.
You just need barbecue because you're sitting in this room.
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly, I feel it too. Except I might actually go eat barbecue tonight since I live next to a good barbecue place.
Well, that, you know what, this whole intro has really brought us to a great housekeeping note, which is that we have a ton of new listeners.
So many.
So many. Why do we have so many?
I did a think. I sat and had a think with myself. And realizing that I have a subreddit devoted to my porn star alter ego that has 40,000 subscribers, I was like...
Oh, God, you didn't tell me that many.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Okay.
If it makes you feel any better, there's only, like, a couple hundred probably that are actually active.
That's fair.
I mean, I think the majority of the 40,000 are people who, like, joined it in 2013 and have never checked it since then.
I'm younger than you, except I don't know how Reddit works.
You don't?
I just don't use Reddit.
I don't either.
I know you upvote stuff, and I know that there are subreddits.
I'm not like, yeah, I'm learning more since I've spent a lot of time on it this past week, but I've really only used Reddit for a total of like maybe 15 hours in my life. It's not that much.
But anyway, welcome new listeners. And
welcome new listeners who came from Reddit and anyone else
and
who
just
came
know
from
that
anywhere else.
We'll go on tangents, but we'll come back. And if you don't like tangents...
Then you're listening to the wrong
then
podcast.
Then you're listening to the wrong podcast the about porn. I'm sorry.
Oh, you know what's really sad that I just realized?
I'm not sorry. What?
Georgia Banks isn't here.
I know. Do you want to... My SO was like, take pictures of Adrian's cat. I was like, actually, I cannot. I'm so sorry.
Well, we used to have a cat at this house. Sniff, sniff. Oh, that's depressing. I'm not going to talk about that.
Yeah, no, don't talk about that. Our next, check that off of the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to talk about how maybe the Patreon?
Yeah, okay. So yeah, I'll get into that real quick. So we have a couple things coming up this summer that, I'm getting started working on, and one of them is I'm going to make a Patreon for this podcast, which I was already kind of thinking about doing, but then it, especially after cross-posting the podcast on Reddit, and now it's come up where, like, I've actually gotten a significant amount of people asking, like, hey, are you guys going to do anything like this so that people can support the podcast more directly,
mm-hmm.
which I really, really appreciate.
Yeah, because this is a labor of love.
I don't know how much money I've put into this podcast, but... suffice it to say, several hundred dollars already out of my own pocket, and I don't make.
Yeah, we both have regular jobs that we.
I'm not gonna say I'm a minimum wage worker, but
I can tell you,
I don't have any savings.
I can tell you that since Adrian started the podcast on her own, Since I joined, I've contributed $7.
$7?
Because I bought the thing that we haven't used.
Oh my god! Oh yeah, yeah! The headphone splitter. Hey, it was a necessary purchase at the time.
At the time, yeah.
Oh god, that's so good.
We probably need to renegotiate.
Yeah. If we're going to laugh that loud, this close to the mics, we should also turn our mics down just a hair.
I'll just sit back and I'll talk louder.
Laugh. If you're going to laugh, if you feel a laugh coming on, turn your head the other way.
Really go back just like that.
Just go like just laugh at the ceiling. Do that like that Instagram I'm laughing pose.
So
Patreon's gonna happen. I've already actually joined. I just haven't actually set up the profile and put things in yet.
We're talking about things that
I think there should be a tier of Patreon supportership that's like Rachel's mom. Like we should just I should have asked you about this before I said it out loud. Just like the, I really want to hear from Rachel's mom supporter tier.
Rachel's mom supporter tier.
And it's just like $2 a month, and you just pledge to to pay $2 a month and also write a review to get us 2,000 reviews.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? My mom was like, what am I going to talk about? And I was like, I don't know, mom. You can talk about, because I told her about this, but she didn't really
ask her perception of people who do porn.
Yeah, that's what
I was. That might be an interesting comment. Because, like, I mean, your mom didn't know that about me at first, right?
She was just like, what am I going to talk about? Are people going to know my name and know me? Are you going to put, I was like, no, they don't even know where we live.
Yeah, no, they don't.
You know, sorry, you probably never will.
We live
maybe
in Boston.
I'm sorry.
That's why all the buildings smell so old.
We live in Nebraska. Sorry, we live in Nebraska. I said that because I was leaning back because I was laughing really loud at the idea that we live in Boston.
I've heard Nebraska is pretty cool, though. I don't know.
I haven't heard that. If you live in Nebraska, let us know if you think it's cool or not.
Omaha, man. People from Omaha are like...
I hear they have steaks.
You know...
JK, that's the Omaha Steak Company.
All right.
And now we're going to get into sort of... It's a little bit of cross housekeeping. We're going to do a special summer series. First of all, we normally...
That's kind of what this is.
That's kind of what this is. We normally post... Bi-monthly.
Bi-weekly, right? Bi-monthly, like two times a month.
2 times a month.
Oh, well, bi-weekly also means every other week.
Okay, we post... We try to put episodes up twice a week.
Twice a month.
Just kidding, not twice a week. God.
I'm confused. Everyone's confused.
Everyone's confused. We try to put episodes up twice a month. In the past, month, there have been lots of things going on. We've both been really busy at work. I've been out of town a little bit. Yeah. You know.
I haven't had a life, honestly, because I've been working so much. Sorry, I'm moving my mic.
we're both people with lives, and like we've stated, the reason for the base is because we do, in fact, have normal jobs that we go to and that, you know, we both really care about and take up a significant portion of our time.
Yep.
And especially this summer, we're both really busy. I'm traveling every month this summer.
I haven't traveled except for going to. We
gotta talk about that.
I can't say that that's where we went. I have to edit that out.
Except you just go beep.
Oh yeah. Okay. Okay.
So we're gonna, for the summer, just release an episode a month.
Yes.
And it's going to be a very special...
Three total.
Very special summer series.
Some people do Shakespeare in the Park in the spring and summer?
Yeah.
Like, summer theater, outdoor...
Are you comparing
outdoor...
this podcast to Shakespeare in the
Park?
Yes,
I am. I'm saying that this is our summer concert series.
Summer concert series.
Or our Shakespeare in the Park, if you will... SVU in the park.
Sounds awful. So, I mean, I'm sure a lot of other people have, but, Law & Order SVU pretty much plays all the time on USA Network. Yeah. It is if it's not playing in its regular, like, syndicated order, it's a special, you know, it's a special marathon. There's probably we're recording on Father's Day, and there's probably a marathon for, like, weird father shit or something.
All the father episodes.
Yeah,
is gonna be really bad and depressing for probably most fathers.
So depressing!
it's not what I'd want.
So we're gonna do a special series where we talk and review episodes that have something to do with the porn industry. We've picked three episodes. These episodes were picked... I've probably seen every episode of Law & Order SVU. It wasn't until, like, the past year or two that I actually start, like, watching it as it comes out, like, the next day on Hulu.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know. I guess because I don't have regular cable and I miss my Law & Order SVU marathons.
I get it.
I
haven't watched it regularly for years, but at one point I had seen all of the current episodes, but this was, like, in 2010 when I was in college.
And then also, I've been reading a book. It's called Her Body and Other Parties. It's by Carmen Maria Machado. It's so good. And one of the stories is that she basically just took... It's real episode titles from Law & Order SVU, and she just wrote down a different episode descriptor for them.
Wait, like having actually seen them? Or
it up? I don't know if she's seen them, but she actually made them up. So one of them was, like, I think it's, like, her episode descriptors for season four is just, like, a prostitute is murder. She's too angry to become a ghost. Prostitute is murder. She's too sad to become a ghost. Like,
to become a ghost?
Yeah. I mean, it deals with supernatural elements.
Okay.
In her fake Law & Order SVU.
Okay.
Retelling.
I love it.
It's a really good book. I can't recommend it enough. But it made me think, wow, I know there are episodes of Law & Order SVU that deal directly with the porn industry. And we should talk about that.
We should. So, Law & Order SVU is, like, a big part of my life.
Yeah.
And my family's life. Because I should also mention that, like, my mom has watched probably more of it than I have. It's, like, a thing that's just on.
I don't think my mom has.
When I was growing up.
I don't think she watches it unless we were watching. But, like... But yeah, I think a lot of our moms probably watch Law & Order SVU. Yeah.
And we'll maybe talk for a minute about how that's pertinent to me, to how material is treated.
That's the third episode that we chose.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the series then, we'll touch on that.
So how we chose the episodes was, even though I've seen most of them and I had a few episodes in mind, I had no idea where they were. I just kind of knew, Stabler is still there, so it's the earlier season. And so literally I just went through the Wikipedia page for each season, and I did Control F porn.
That's genius, though. Kudos. Thank you. That's very smart. Resourceful.
And I picked five different episodes. We chose three based on the descriptions. Just a note, also at the top, Law & Order SVU does deal with subjects that can be extremely triggering, sexual assault, sexual assault of minors, statutory, lots of things that can be triggering. We obviously get if you, for whatever reason, can't listen to this episode, and we totally respect that. So do what you gotta do to keep your mental health safe.
100%. I would say that if you're comfortable watching episodes of SVU, then you probably will be fine to us talk about it.
I don't think we're gonna, yeah.
We'll probably make you feel a little bit better than some of those episodes do, actually.
Probably.
Since we're gonna have somewhat more reasonable reactions.
So,
respect to Dick Wolf.
Oh. God, I just put in season 4, episode 15, and... Like, I didn't put Law & Order SVU.
Just every TV show ever. Give me.
You know what, actually? Show me. It immediately came up with The Walking Dead. It thought that's what... Which, I don't watch The Walking Dead. But
I guess that's an important episode in that
universe. I put season 4... No, we didn't. We didn't watch season 4, episode 15.
Yeah, we didn't. I was just gonna say, like, I have the notes that I took.
I don't know why I put season 4 on this new...
Season 6, episode 15.
Please cut this out.
Yeah, we'll cut it out. Okay, it's fine.
Good. Cool.
It's just three minutes of us Can I? Can we say how loungy I am right now?
Yeah, you're really loungy.
I've moved my microphone like 3 feet away from where I started it because I keep reclining further and further into this couch.
You're doing, it's like Passover except for pot. You must lounge while you record.
Yes.
Okay, so the first episode we watched, it's season 6, episode 15. This episode premiered February 15th of 2005. It's available to watch on Hulu if you have a subscription, for free. Otherwise, you gotta pay the money, $1.99. I don't know if I'd recommend that. I'm sure you can probably find it online somewhere if you're really interested. But
do what I did. Just wait until Hulu, make a Hulu account, subscribe, pay the regular price for a couple months, then cancel it. Then they're going to send you, look, I'm just a terrible person. And then they send you another thing. It's like, come back. And then you just resubscribe because they give you a big discount.
And that's how you cheat the system.
Look, capitalism is bad for everyone. Fuck it.
Capitalism. We're like, capitalism. Yeah. Am I right?
But no, I get Hulu for 99 cents.
No shit. Maybe I should cancel and rejoin.
I think that, if I remember correctly, I might have gotten the 99 cent deal just because it was, like, the holiday. I feel like it was a Black Friday thing. Like, they did, like, a one-day thing where they were like, it's 99 cents for 1 year, but you have to pay up front for a year, which is still cheap. So, that's what I did.
Okay, so again, we watched, the episode title is Hooked. The summary is, the detectives discover that a murdered teenage girl was a prostitute and then contracted HIV while working on a pornographic film, which leads them to her killer. The episode guest stars Hayden Panettiere. This is, like, obviously...
But not as the prostitute, obviously, because she's dead for the whole episode.
Yeah,
because
she's dead.
Because that was what I thought at first.
Immediately.
And also, I say prostitute to make fun of Law and Order using that language. I would say sex worker.
Yeah. They don't... Yeah. Just... yeah. So, anyway, guest stars Hayden Panettiere. That's probably the only person that you'll recognize, like, as I'm looking at this. Yeah. Oh, but also, it does have a brief cameo of Peter Herman, who is Mariska Hargitay's husband. They actually met on the show.
That's so cute.
I mean, it's been on since 1999, so they have. Wow. Yeah, it's been on since 1999. They've gone through 14 different actors for their district attorneys.
Are we just doing a recap of everything about SVU now?
I just had a few fun facts.
Okay, ooh, good. I like those.
So anyway, yeah.
Who's your favorite?
My favorite ADA?
No, just your favorite SVU character.
Oh, shit. I love Munch. Munch is great. He's basically in the whole continuity of all Dick Wolf ventures. He was on Homicide, Life on the Streets. Like, he just continues to exist.
He just is.
Richard Belzer is apparently a cool dude. I like him a lot. My favorite ADA is Raphael Barza. Or Barba, I mean. He's my favorite, so I mispronounce his name. So, to get into the episode, we start off, the episode starts with a group of Cub Scouts, or a group of Boy Scouts, and they're stargazing.
Oh, I forgot look, the first, like, 3 minutes of this, I was like, no, dear God, it's just that initial shot, it's like a fucking child with a telescope, they're supposed to be looking at the stars.
They're supposed to be looking at the stars, and one of them instead says, I've got something great and bare right here. Because, like, it's a play. It's like, you're a child. And so then his friend...
Well, he didn't say what he's looking at. He tunes his telescope he's spying in people's windows. And there's a woman undressing.
Yeah, there's, like, a woman getting naked. Like, it's, you know, dumb. Very juvenile. Dumb. They have nothing to do with the episode until...
Really?
One of his friends is like, let me see it.
Maybe they were trying to foreshadow that men are trash, even when they're children?
Oh, maybe.
That's a little bit rough. Sorry.
Hashtag not all men.
Yeah. It just set the tone. It made you feel really uncomfortable right off the bat with children. Like, why are we? Why is this?
So
happening?
Then his friend is trying to. He's like, I want to see the naked lady, and then he knocks the telescope, and he sees a woman dead on a rooftop, and he's like, oh my god, I think she's dead, and his scout leader's like, what? And then he looks through the telescope, and he's like, oh shit, and then the next thing you see is the cops on the scene.
That was supposed to be a police siren.
It doesn't do the dun-dun yet.
Dun-dun.
So, like, they automatically assumed she was a hooker.
They did. There was no discussion. It was literally like, she's in an $800 dress. We know what that means.
No, it was that she's in a... that's what made them think she was a good one.
Mm.
But they automatically assumed she was a hooker, and I had no idea why. They didn't explain why. They didn't just
assume... Dead woman on a rooftop.
Hooker.
Maybe there's something underlying that we're supposed to just take for granted, such as was it the hotel where she was found dead? Where what actually?
No,
was
she
the
was
building?
Just found on some random rooftop.
Like, maybe that's a hot spot for.
Then why
sex
would
work.
You
just
be
this
taking...
one rooftop is where everyone just goes and fucks.
Then why would you be taking Boy Scouts to stargaze there?
That's a very good point.
Around there.
That's a very good point. I can't answer that
it
for
you, Rachel.
It doesn't
make sense.
It really
I guess
doesn't.
That just means that New York is a cesspool that every rooftop, every other rooftop probably.
Probably. Yeah, that's hookers. Probably more what it says. It's just like, well, there's just dead people on rooftops everywhere in New
and
York.
And they're all hookers.
And they're...
Because this is Law and Order SVU.
What a world.
So they find an ID on her. So I studied criminal justice in college, and I immediately was like, this is... And we went over police
inaccurate.
Procedure, and also a lot of the people who were in my classes, they're actually cops who are going for, like, continuing education, and they're... And it's... I was like, oh, you would get someone who... Not a detective to go and pick them up and then to actually identify the body based on the ID. But, you know, this is to build dramatic tension. They get the ID. They take it to the mom's house. And she's like, oh my god, that's my baby's ID. She must be dead. And the next thing you know, she walks in and she's alive. And we find out after the intro that... that it was actually her cousin, because she gave her cousin her ID, so she's a, and her cousin's younger, she's 15, she was dating a guy who went to college, and they wanted to go to, and they wanted to go to bars and go to concerts together, and she couldn't get in, because she's 15!
Dude, and then, dun-dun!
Dun-dun! And then, you know, we get the, yeah. So, basically throughout the episode, it was like they were throwing twists in, for fun.
Yep.
Twist after twist. Here's what we learn about our victim. That her father is kind of an absent father. Her mother is dead.
He's aloof.
He's grieving. I don't mean absent. I mean, like, physically absent, because he's a long-haul trucker. That she's a good girl who... I don't know why, like, that she's a good girl and she studies really hard, and the only thing that her principal has ever had, to, or guidance counselor, I don't know, some person who, some official works at the
school. Did you say gynecologist?
No, guidance counselor.
Oh, you said guidance counselor, but you, like, said it really fast and cut yourself off. I thought you said her gynecologist. Can you imagine if you die and the first person they interview is your gynecologist? They're like, tell me about her.
I mean, maybe you die at your gynecologist's office.
Honestly, then that would make sense.
So the only thing they've ever brought her into the office for to talk to her about is that she was wearing those sex bracelets. Which I made a note, like, I don't know if you...
Remember, guys, this is 2005.
This is 2005. It was written then in 2004, probably.
Probably. Or even potentially earlier.
Potentially
then, like,
2003.
Way, but...
This is just a burn and churn script factory, basically.
Yeah.
And the sex bracelets was a thing in the early 2000s where there were these jelly bracelets and they were different colors and... Adults lost their shit because high schoolers and middle schoolers were wearing them, and someone was like, oh, that's the different sex acts that someone is willing to perform or that has had done to them, and you exchange them for the... That's the currency of kids. And you know, and black is, I don't have to explain that. It means that you've gone all the way. You've had sexual intercourse. I mean, I only wore black jelly bracelets in middle school because I was a fake goth kid.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I was a little pop punker.
But also, that was just an urban legend, and that wasn't correct. A real thing that
it
happened.
It literally was never a thing. Like, I mean, maybe parties. It was real somewhere at someone's
like lipstick thing. Parties.
Yeah. Well, that was a really great early social network that I joined.
Lipstick parties?
Yeah. No, it was just lipstick party. Or no, was it there was like makeout party, pretty sure lipstick party. But yeah, these are like pre-MySpace.
I'm talking about
you probably were actually too young, cuz I was like in ninth grade.
My first social network was MySpace party.
Yeah,
MySpace party was MySpace. MySpace, which was a party. Thanks, Tom. He's always in your top eight.
Oh my god.
But yeah, then she's like, you should talk to her best friend, Angela, who's played by Hayden Panettiere. So they go and talk to Angela. She's like, I don't know. I don't even know the sex jelly bracelet thing. That was, like, just a joke that I made and adults take it too seriously, which is probably how that urban legend actually started.
Uh-huh.
And so then they go to the Emmy's office or something, and they're like, oh, no, they go to the tech people. Because they found her phone, like the CSI people.
Oh! Because
they found her phone, okay, but it was really damaged, yeah. But they were able to see that...
Her BlackBerry.
I thought it was a Sidekick.
They said BlackBerry. It could have been like, you know, BlackBerry like did other phone styles for a bit there.
Yeah, I guess.
Because they were like a manufacturer of multiple different kinds.
Right. So anyway, I thought it was a Sidekick. and so they... And he's like, I was able to get some information of her SIM card, which is that she's using this young teen dating network site, and she met up with a guy named Quick Nick. And then there's a montage that's all about how...
Which is just, I'm sorry, why would that be your name on a dating website? Quick Nick.
It's because whatever.
He just wants everyone to know how fast he is.
Yeah. And so, then there's a montage, like, that's all the... Oh, the victim's name is Lisa. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Look at us being terrible.
Shit, we forgot.
Well, I mean, at least it's fictionalized. At least there's that.
What does that say about us as people?
It's like in My Favorite Murder, where they try to make a specific, like, effort to actually mention the victim's names often as possible. I always appreciate that. So, good on us for not doing it. If you hear weird booming noises, it's because there's a storm coming through.
We're gonna die.
Where we are right now. No, we'll be fine. We'll be fine in this sturdy, cherry-smoked house.
So anyway, they interview all the people who she's, like, hooked up with, and they're all like, no, it was just friends with benefits, and like, one of these teenage guys says, only ugly people date.
Right, they were like, hey, so we heard you were dating Lisa. No, I wasn't. Only ugly people date.
And then they're like, oh, they talked to some girl who's like, she's like, I'm more into girls. It's like a total aside. And Lisa was sometimes into girls,
basically,
too.
Basically, they're just trying to paint how they're like, oh, these young
like,
kids,
these youngsters,
they're just
so
all fucking
factual,
each other.
Promiscuous, and they're all fucking each other and whatever. And so then they find Angela at some cafe, and she's wearing she's like, I'm studying.
She's wearing a slightly cropped t-shirt and a cardigan.
And Stabler's like, you always wear that to study? I couldn't even tell that it was slightly cropped. She's wearing, like, a full-on t-shirt and a crop top.
There was a tiny bit of midriff showing.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
And he's like, you wear that to study? And you're like, okay, that seems a little aggressive, sir. And she's wearing hoops. And, like, basically she's like, yeah, I didn't want to tell you because I wanted to protect Lisa from, like, I didn't want you all to think she was a slut. And so they go on their merry way.
Can I just mention the best part of that scene, which is that she's at an internet cafe.
Oh, I just thought she was at a cafe.
No, it's like, it had like a logo that had like a computer in it. Wow. Like, she's at an internet cafe in 2000.
Amazing.
Because, like, you know, her rich parents didn't have internet at her own house, apparently.
Well, her rich parents just take vacations to Europe all the time and they can't be bothered with her.
I know, it's just so hard. It's
so hard. So they go and they talk with the medical examiner played by Tamara Tooney, examiner Melinda Warren, the best medical examiner in the city of New York, and apparently they're only one, but whatever. and she's like, Lisa was HIV positive. And they're like, ah!
Dun, dun. Right, which, I mean, at that point, because they find this out after they've interviewed all these people who are like, yeah, I had sex with her, like, yeah, we hooked up, and now they're like, oh.
No.
Wow.
Except they, because
there's a lot of HIV here.
Because they're like, oh, God, we have to let everyone, but also, they do this really funny infographic, because it's, like, obviously so fake of, like, this is how the contagion could spread throughout Queens.
Oh, God,
which
it's
I'm
so
not
bad.
Saying isn't maybe a real thing the CDC does, but they're like, this is an infographic from the CDC.
It's like GIS mapping.
Yeah.
It's like, but with disease. So, I mean, I guess, yeah, that I'm sure that some scientists are, like, epidemiologists use that type of software, but this is like, it just was like really dorky looking, and it made
it was really funny because it was also like, it was like pinging constantly. Yeah. It was weird.
It's like, well, the way that they illustrated it, it made it look like they were trying to say this is a live update every time someone is HIV positive.
Like, as if it
they
was
show up on this
as
map.
If it was Doppler radar.
It's like the Snapchat map where it just shows you everyone's Bitmoji. Except
You should turn that off if you have it on.
It's so fucking creepy.
It's creepy as hell.
I hate it.
It reminded me of Doppler radar.
Mm-hmm.
So they go and they tell her dad, who he's like, oh my God, who gave my baby HIV? And, you know, he's just an angry, upset father.
He's pissed. Yeah. He's like, who's the fucker? I'm gonna kill him.
So they find her antiretrovirals in a bag from her boutique, and they're like, oh, this is probably where she got the dress, and they find
and
a bunch
all the
about
other
her.
Expensive clothes yeah, that her dad didn't clothing. Know about, and he's like, how is she affording this stuff? And
her allowance was only $25 a week.
I like how they asked him if he knew that she was on the antiretrovirals, and he's like, no,
I didn't know she was
we
sick.
We only have one medicine cabinet in this house. I would have seen them in there. Like, okay, I understand that you don't spend a lot of time with your 15-year-old daughter, but if I had an illness I was trying to hide, I wouldn't be storing my medicine in the community medicine cabinet.
His wife
with my
died.
Dad. Like,
his wife died. He was grieving.
that line just got me. I was like, there are other places that one could put a bottle of medicine. Like, it's not like it physically has to be inside a medicine cabinet.
So,
that was just the dumbest assumption.
I'm trying to speed through this so we can talk about it. But so then they go to the boutique, her boutique, because they're like, oh, well, maybe this is where she's getting all these clothing. And they see the dress, the $800 dress that she was wearing, which is super 2005. Like,
oh, it's
like, oh. It is like purple patterned, and then it has weird, like,
it
different
looks,
pattern leopard strips.
It looks like something Paris
traps.
Hilton would have worn.
It sure does.
Yeah. Like, bad, bad, bad taste.
I actually thought Hillary Duff.
That's fair as well. Yeah, yeah. 100%.
So then, they're like, oh, the store associate who's helping them, they're like, we need to see footage of when she bought this dress. They look at the footage. The store manager is taking her back to the dressing rooms, and then 10 minutes later, she walks out with the dress, but she never even approaches
she
the
never
cash
paid.
Register. So she's like, oh, the store manager is in the back, and you go into the back room, and the first thing you hear is moans. It's like, they're like, ah, looks like we found him, and he's moaning, but you can't see. Someone
it's
is
like weirdly echoing.
Is, someone is giving him oral. You can't see who. And they arrest him. And then Benson's like, look who we have here. It's Angela.
Oh.
Her friend who they've already talked to 50 times. I feel like half of this episode was just them talking to Hayden Panettiere and Hayden Panettiere's character, Angela, lying to them.
That really was it.
It was like, the whole episode.
They had, look, she's, it's 2005, it's Hayden Panettiere.
In peak, like, I'm about to be in Heroes.
Right, exactly. So they need to give her as much screen time as possible. It was in her contract. So she had to be a really good liar so that she'd keep throwing them off.
Yeah, and Benson's like, you're selling yourself for clothing. And she's like, it's only oral. It's only oral. And Benson's like, oral sex. And like, so, and then they basically imply, like, you need to stop this, otherwise you're going to end up, like, do you want to end up dead? Like, literally. Your friend who's, like, you know, dead because she was a hooker who enjoyed sex?
They drew a direct line of contact from sex work to death.
Yeah.
Like, are you going to do this? Are you really going to do sex work? Because you're going to die.
You will die. And she
basically, they haven't, told... Well, I don't remember if she knows that Lisa had HIV, but...
I don't know.
At that point...
You know, I don't think they ever directly tell her, which, coming up, actually makes me feel a little not great about.
Yeah.
But anyway, so then, they...
She did know, and that I'm forgetting something, but anyway.
So she tells, she tells them that she was just doing it for clothes, and then she got recruited, and now she does it out of hotels for money. And so they perform a sting, they find the guy who's doing that, and they find out that it was actually the guy who was treating her for HIV, who
the doctor
paid her for sex. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm in love with her, I didn't know she was 15, and I moved here just for her, and blah, blah, blah.
The doctor's, like, her biggest client.
Her biggest client. I suppose. He ends up dead. They think it's Lisa's dad. It wasn't Lisa's dad. Whatever. Then they find out at the dead doctor's apartment, they find a scarf from the private school that Lisa and Angela attended. And it's monogrammed.
Let's fast forward.
It's just monogrammed. These details aren't...
Essentially...
That's how they find out that... They go to the school, they break open the locker.
She has a tape. They watch the tape.
The tape is
the doctor and Lisa and Angela
looking super uncomfortable having a threesome.
They imply that it's a threesome, but it's really just like Lisa sitting on the other end of a couch, like with her arms crossed, like looking extra grumpy.
No, that's Angela. Lisa's
Angela. Yeah, the friend.
Yeah. So they go to the doctor. Doctor is dead. Oh no, that's they already did that. Doctor is dead. They're trying to figure out who killed the doctor. They think it's the dad. Elliot's like, go find your priest. Don't get angry.
First response is he sees a man angry about. Go to your priest.
Go to your priest. What? You have what a if, priest to talk to.
Like, what are you talking? Like, who? The assumptions. God.
So. Angela, when she's like, the video just admits that that she's done actually multiple videos. They figure out the production company. It's a company
called Max Long
Studios.
Which obviously made me think of Max Hardcore. That was like the first thing I thought, which was the producer that, I think he's actually in jail now. Anyway, we talked about him very, very briefly when we talked about After Porn Ends 3, because Bonnie Rowden talked about her experience with that having been her first scene. Max Hardcore is a piece of shit. Anyway,
so, they go this... They pick him up, and basically they find out that the doctor who was treating her for Lisa for HIV and also was having an affair with... What?
Can I talk this part? Because this just peeves me so much.
No, let's go through the episode and then we'll go back.
All right, fine.
Because we're almost there. Because at this point, this is not one of the Law and Order SVU episodes that has a courtroom trial. It doesn't. It's just all about the investigation. But also at this point, we only have like 10 minutes left in the episode and we're like, this is the juicy stuff. To me, I was like, this is the juicy stuff.
It took so long to get there. It was so incredibly long.
Oh my God.
It's taken us a long time just to get there.
I know, because it's not very straight. So anyway, basically it comes out that, you know, Max Long is like, oh, I didn't know she was 15 and I didn't know that she had HIV. But he did. And also he's the one who killed her because she was 15 and had HIV and was going to ruin his production company. And he smacked her. He hit her on the head with a tripod that had aluminum. That had aluminum bits and it's the same aluminum.
The metallurgist. The one who solved the case.
The metallurgist. It's the same aluminum according to the metallurgist.
I appreciate how many times they got the word metallurgist into the script for that episode.
True. And then.
Good job.
And then we still don't know who killed the doctor. Basically, it turns out it was Angela because she wanted the video back because she didn't want to do it. She felt really pressured and she didn't want anyone to find out. And then the doctor was like,
she said
no,
that
but
if anyone
15.
Ever saw the video, it would ruin her life.
Yeah. And so then they.
Unlike murdering a person. Which totally wouldn't ruin your life.
I mean, but you know what? Angela's parents sound like absentee parents. They put her. They're like, you can talk to her, but they're on vacation in Europe and they don't want to interrupt, but they've given permission for you to talk to her. That's something that's thrown out there. But anyway, so yeah, that the end of the episode is Hayden Panettiere crying into Elliot Stabler's chest because Stabler had a personal stake in this episode because one of the guys who may have HIV dated his daughter.
Yep.
And he has to have an awkward conversation with his daughter.
One of the guys who hooked up with Lisa when she was HIV positive.
Yes. About, did you have sex with this guy?
Dated. Yeah.
And then you find out that Stabler's daughter is a good Catholic girl because he was actually, the dude who she was dating was actually pressuring her to have sex and she broke up. And that's why, and actually, no, he broke up with her because of it because she wouldn't put out. But yeah, the last shot of the episode is. Hayden Panettiere crying into Stabler's chest and Stabler looking sad. Yep. The end.
So, what do we think?
God, there was...
I don't know where to start. Oh, I want to say all the things about all the things.
There was so much. Why don't you bring up... Because there were a few things that you were like, wow, that's... So, I think it was the fact that she was an underage actress and so, she presented her ID and also
correct
and also the HIV thing
the inaccuracies of how the porn industry is portrayed, like, look, I'm not surprised. This is time and time again the way that fictionalized things about the porn industry tend to sleazify it to like this nth degree. My stomach just made a weird noise. So but yeah, just like right off the bat, the fact that she's fucking 15 years old and has like a fake ID and the director's like, well, I saw her ID. Like, this is every fucking porn set I was ever on has you have to have two forms of matching ID. Like,
which makes sense because you know what?
You would also be able to fucking tell if someone were underage. Well, I'm sorry. Also, like, it would be so obvious.
Well, also, do you want to know why you have to have two forms of matching ID or two forms of ID? Because you're getting paid and you get taxed.
Yeah. And that's exactly
and
why.
And you need it for your I-9s.
That's exactly why. So they're acting like this whole thing is like shady and under the table, which, I mean, not that there isn't porn made that way, because there definitely is, but it wouldn't have looked like this porn set did, because when they go to the porn set, this is a porn set with fucking money. This is like a legit set. There's like four crew members. Look, if you're on a porn set and there's one guy holding a boom, like a person whose job it is to hold a boom, then you're on a well-funded porn set.
Yeah.
So that just wouldn't have happened at this porn set. And then the fact that they're all fooled, apparently, by some doctored, like, literally a doctor doctored her HIV results to make her look not HIV positive.
Yeah.
So that she could continue to work.
And, you know, and they...
For this Max Long guy.
And the detectives call Max Long out. He was... Because he was like, oh, yeah, I was filming Wendy Does the White House. during that time, so I couldn't have been there, but they get all of the actors and actresses who would have been on, or all the actresses, really. They didn't show any actors.
Yeah, pretty much.
anyway.
How many porn actresses do they think are in, like, one movie?
I don't know. There were at least, like, 4 or 5 from it apparently was, Wendy does the White House. It was, like,
10 in that scene when they were all in the... Yeah. It was a lot.
Because he was like, I care about my I care about my girls. And... and then they're like, oh, yeah, they really had some thoughts and feelings about the fact that you exposed them to HIV. I wonder why.
You know what's the funniest to me about the media portrayal, specifically this one, of porn industry people, is, like, as a person who's been in porn and spent a lot of hours on porn sets, I'm watching the same SVU episode going, I hate these people. Because it's so, but that's like, that's my point, is like, it is literally made to make you think that way, and it's so fucking far from the actual mm-hmm. truth. Like, everyone seems super fucking sleazy, like, it's just so dehumanizing, and it's so completely inaccurate.
Do you think that your mom's experience with Law and Order SVU, because there are, like, there's time, I mean, and also, you know, this episode, it had statutory rape and sexual yeah. court, but, like, there are episodes that feature, like, oh, it's child pornography, and, like, one of the episodes we considered...
They really don't differentiate.
They don't
either.
Differentiate yeah. between, like...
They just use this... They're like, well, it's all porn.
It's porn. Like, when I was going through and doing my very calculated search of which episodes watched by doing Control F, I would be like, oh, pornography, perfect, and then I'd be like, oh, this is actually, it's child, it's that they find child porn on a computer, and it doesn't have anything to do with the actual yeah. world of porn, which I'm not saying that child porn is awful, but it was
we're
not
talking
within
like
the parameters of the
consensual
that we were watching.
Like yes. entertainment porn.
Oh, but that was sorry to circle back. That was the thing that really makes me feel mad, because they were like so concerned with like updating all the victims. But then they don't even talk to Angela. It's like, oh, you had a sexual encounter with Lisa and this doctor.
Yeah.
And it would have been when she had HIV. Like, are you okay, girl?
Yeah.
Girl, are you
they
okay?
They don't even, that's such a good point. Which made me wonder if, like, we missed something and they briefly mentioned that, like, Angela already knew.
I mean, Angela just kept lying the whole time. I mean, I get it.
Oh, and then also just the fact that this porn producer would be like, yeah, I know that she's HIV positive, but I'm going to allow myself to be blackmailed. And like,
no, he wasn't being blackmailed. He was blackmailing the doctor into doctoring the report.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because
yeah,
then the way that they figure...
See, this is a very complicated
The way that they figure out that Max Long knew about the HIV status was that this same doctor was the one who was running all of the tests for all of his actors.
Yeah.
So, you know, there might have been a lot of
people. Is funny because he's like, when they went to visit him, this is like a legit, like a, the way when they went, he's like in a hospital. It's like, he's like an ER doctor or something. Like, it doesn't make sense that would be the person who's processing STD tests.
Yeah.
In any, like, it legit doesn't make any sense.
Nothing.
Also, for the record,
this whole
like,
episode was so convoluted. Like, I felt like...
If there's a large concentration of porn performers and porn being filmed in an area, such as, like, LA or Los Angeles, or, damn it, Las Vegas, for example, then typically there's going to be... They're going to have their own testing clinic.
Yeah.
That's like, there's a system that in place for this. I actually, on the Reddit thing that I have been using more now, like, someone had asked about specifically, like, the testing system, which okay. I've talked about the intervals for testing, but yeah. not specifically the system. But, I mean, look, like, there are clinics owned by industry-aligned health professionals,
mm-hmm.
and there's, like, a whole database where, like, producers can log in and they can verify testing status. And I don't know if it's still...
Do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing?
It was bad years ago when someone hacked the database and got all the legal names of all the performers.
Oh, God.
Like, pre-2012.
Yikes.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, they go to great measure now to try to keep that from ever happening again, so...
No, I mean more that it's, like... It's, like, if you go to clinic that's owned on your work site, that's owned by your work. Like, do you think it's good that it's so internalized, or do you think...
No, I think it's good.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the nurses and stuff there, like, they're... Not only are they incredibly, like, understanding and efficient and non-judgmental and very sex positive, okay, but they are so... I've never met people who are better at finding your vein and drawing your blood efficiently.
Ooh.
Like, I actually used to have a phobia of having my blood drawn because I had hypothyroidism when I was a teenager, and so I had to go get my blood count done all the time.
Oh, yikes.
Like, my TS4 or whatever. And so I like, was used to fainting from getting my blood drawn, and I was, like, traumatized. Like, I really, really hated it. And getting into the industry and having to go get my blood drawn, like... Once every, you know, like, a couple times a month, essentially, I, like, got used to it, and it got to be a thing that I wasn't horrified by.
Oh, well, that's But it's awesome.
Mainly because they were good at it.
Yeah.
But they had, like, a really famous infographic. It's, like, a poster that's illustrated, that's, like, Annie Sprinkle's Guide to Sex Worker Burnout. They had, like, all these resources everywhere. Like, they'd always decorate for the holidays. Like, it was a very safe feeling space.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I always liked it, and I liked that it was owned by people who were familiar. It was, like, for the industry.
Did you, know? Did you have to pay for the test, or did...
Performers pay out of their pockets. There's a fund now.
Okay.
From the Adult Performer Advocacy Committee, which had just started, like, around the time that I was leaving. So I think I got to use the fund, like, once or twice.
Are the prices at the clinics more reasonable than if you were doing this at, like, if you went to, an urgent care?
I'm pretty sure. I don't even know what it would be if I were to, like, go to an urgent care. It'd probably be astronomical because they'd add on all their other surcharges. But out of pocket, it was, like, depending on what panel you're doing, it's like $100, $200.
Okay.
For a full, it's like everything. And it's, I mean, like, the most sensitive HIV antibody test. I
mean,
that's available.
I haven't gotten that panel, but that's about what I've paid for different blood panels.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that when I was active, I want to say it was between $150, $170 every time I tested. Yeah. 'Cause I would get everything every time. Yeah. So, I mean, which is, you know, as a performer, that is just your overhead. Like, I never looked at it like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's just, this is a thing you have to do to work. Like, and why would you not want to do it anyway? But you have to, so it's just part of your overhead.
So anyway, yeah, that's...
So, calling bullshit on this producer being like, oh, I'm gonna hide that she's HIV... Like, I just... Not only the fact that that would be very hard to do because performers look at each other's tests. It's not just the producer who logs into the database and verifies. Like we would show each other either online or physically printed out, like show each other our actual test results, more for peace of mind and out of respect than anything. But also, like, they don't ever illustrate why this porn director wants so badly to keep her working on his sets.
Yeah, we have no...
He's willing to risk... How many people's lives from being infected with HIV just because he wants to keep employing this one girl? And that makes no fucking sense.
And you know what? I think more recent episodes, because, like, this was early Law & Order SUV. It had not yet become the second longest scripted drama in primetime television. I think later, if it was, like, a more recent episode, the actual episode would have been they found out that she had HIV, her friend... Angela would have told them that she was in porn, and then it would have been more focused on the porn industry.
Yeah. It's weird that they threw it in there. It was like an afterthought. It was like, by the way, porn.
Yeah, like, it really was like an afterthought. It was like they couldn't, because, you know, Law & Order SVU episodes, it's not necessarily,
they make, like, it out like she's actually a big star, too. The way the director talks about her, what's her name, Trudy Strutz or something?
Whatever. Really... Trudy Strutz.
Whatever. So that's another thing, which is like, all right, kids at school would recognize her, right? They're making, like, they pick up a DVD cover. They're like, oh, she's on the cover of this DVD. Like, it's just, none of it is plausible to me.
No, they wouldn't have been able to because they were all underage. They wouldn't have been able to buy porn.
Exactly. Well, no, but the internet exists in 2005 and it's online.
Okay, but.
So they would have seen it.
Yeah. But, okay, so here's the other thing that I think well, no, they've always kept this, is that it's never about... Law & Order episodes are never about the victim.
Yeah.
Like, the Law & Order franchise, they're never about the victim. It's all... It's all, like, some critique of society that they think is, like, really profound. Right.
that they think is really profound.
Yeah. But, like, this episode didn't have that. Like, we watched other episodes where it was like, oh, we're touching on this topic. Mm-hmm. But this one, it was like there were three different moral lessons they wanted to teach us, and they couldn't focus on it long enough to actually teach us.
That's so true.
So it was not a very strong episode.
Can I also, just based on the timeline of this, that this episode is, 14 years old now?
Yeah.
From 2005?
Yeah, it aired in 2005.
And also based on the fact that I know my mom watched a lot of Law & Order SVU, and this episode would have aired during the time when I was in high school. I would have been like a junior in high school
when this aired.
Did
she ask you about jelly bracelets? About sex bracelets?
No, but my parents always assumed that I wasn't having sex at all. And they were correct in that assumption.
I was
going
to say, I mean, I saw your haircut in high school. I could tell that you weren't having sex.
Oh my god! Are you anti-slut shaming me?
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
Are you celibate shaming me?
Oh. Yes.
I was an incel. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, God.
All the, the Stacey's.
I wanted to touch someone. I wanted someone to touch my butt in high school, but it just never happened for me.
I don't remember
what
incels call men. Alpha men.
Oh, Chads and Stacey's.
All the Chads and Stacey's.
God.
Pro tip, I also learned that from Law & Order SVU.
No way! Oh my god.
Yeah, they did an episode this season that had to do with incels.
Oh god, I've learned it just from, I'm in a Facebook group that would, like, make fun of incel culture. It's really bad, though. I can't handle it anymore. It's too triggering to even read most of it, even if it's, like, a joke.
I'm only in Facebook groups.
Face groups?
I'm in, like, 5 Facebook groups, and one of them is about a Buffy rewatch podcast. Mm-hmm. One of them is just a Bob's Burgers general podcast. One is a Sailor Moon general.
Oh, my god.
Are
you trying to tell people how to find you on Facebook?
No, all these groups have like hundreds of thousands of members in
them. But how many people are in all of them?
In like every
probably hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of overlap between those interests.
And then I'm in 2 different wedding groups. One is wedding shaming and one is wedding praising.
That's hilarious.
Yes.
No, sorry, go ahead.
So, what I'm saying is that my Facebook content would have nothing to do with incels, typically.
Yes, which is good, and it shouldn't because...
That's the way I like my content.
Yes, I don't like to think about them. I know that they exist in this world, but also, they want attention, so
yeah,
let's just not give them
if
any,
I wanna hear
we'll all be much happier.
If I want to hear sad shit, I'll just listen to the news.
Yeah, that's so true.
Ugh. Which I do, but I don't like getting my news from
or
Facebook.
Watch SVU.
I don't like getting my news from Facebook. I prefer to go to actual news organizations.
Same.
So,
and Apple News app, ba-boom.
What?
Apple News app.
NPR.
NPR. Well, which is on... I just let Apple tell me what to do with my life.
Oh,
I get the news notifications
God, what a
in there.
Sheeple.
They give me better notifications the more I look at it, because it knows what kind of stories I care about. So.
Sheeple.
Exactly. Proud. Proud of it. But no, what I was trying to say is like on the timeline of this, I know my mom most likely saw like this episode and probably some other ones that discuss, I mean, it's SVU. So like a lot of the time the episodes deal with some form of sex work, you know?
Yeah.
But
and they
specifically
always...
the way that they portray the porn industry in this one, I'm like, oh my God, my parents' reaction to me doing porn to them, like finding out. And I remember the first couple times I actually saw them in person, after I had started working in the industry, like, I actually kind of didn't understand the level of concern that specifically my mom expressed about me, like, being physically safe from getting diseases. And it makes so much more sense to realize, like, oh, well, all she has to go on is this incredibly fictionalized account of, like, yeah, porn industry people just let HIV positive talent have sex with everyone and cover it up. Like,
yeah, and I mean, and also,
truth.
I think looking at scripted primetime shows, like these sort of formulaic crime dramas, like if one show is doing this as a topic, like all of them probably were.
Yeah.
And also, if you're, like, into Law and Order SVU, you've probably watched other ones, too. So, she probably got it from a lot of different things. And then, you know, the jelly sex bracelet thing. Like, then, because Law and Order SVU did it, it was, you know, it was probably on, like, some Today Show shit. And then, so, you know, it's just, it's, like, in the, reverberating.
Yeah.
Tube.
It's just like this weird echo chamber of...
That's what I was looking for. I didn't have
commentary about sex work from people who have no fucking idea.
Yeah. And I think also...
And are making wild assumptions.
Yeah, and I think also back then, I think it's become a lot easier for people to dispute these claims because of social media. Like, back then it was really only MySpace. Facebook was a thing, but it was... Facebook was a thing, but it was... I think still in 2005, primarily for actual college students.
Yeah, it was in 2007, I believe, that it was opened up to all peeps.
Right.
And definitely no one's parents were on Facebook until, like, 2011, so.
So, you know, there was no way to, like, dispute these claims, really, to a broad audience.
Yeah.
I also think Law and Order... How would anyone have known any better? So we watched all three episodes today, because we... just decided today that this was going to be a three-part series when Adrian was like, let's try to keep this to a tight hour. And I was like, are you kidding me? We could spend an hour talking about each of these episodes individually.
And then I was like, is that what we're gonna do? Rachel? And I was
like, yeah, let's fucking do it. But so we watched three that were from like season six, like towards the middle of the season and one of the more later episodes or more of the more recent episodes. And I think it's interesting to see how like, definitely the show's ideas about sex work have changed. Because I think the show has always been like, oh, well, they're the victim and we believe them. But it's definitely become more like, you know, they're the victim. We shouldn't shame them for what's going on. We know that, you know,
They
use the term sex worker in the more recent episode that we watched. It's not like... So... they're definitely taking the ideas that, I'm not going to say feedback, cause I don't know how much, like, critical feedback they're getting, but they're taking...
I think that they're taking cues from a cultural progression.
That's what I was about to say, from the cultural moment.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time, you know, if it's still your mom watching this, they take the cues from the cultural moment, but they don't get into the nuances because in the end of the day, it's a scripted television drama.
Well,
that's
and they're
a case
not
of the week.
And... trying to influence the cultural moments, which
I
kind of struggle because I'm like, well, you could.
Well,
you know,
so
like,
Mariska Hargitay on her own does.
Yeah.
She's a big supporter of
victim
advocacy.
How much she's
rights.
Actually had to do with like. The development.
I think she's
of
an executive producer now,
so
probably a lot. But
that's
and
fucking
she
great. I love
she
her.
Also she's done a lot of advocacy work for testing of rape kits. And I think she either was an executive producer or like directed a documentary a few years back about rape kits and how there's a whole huge backlog of rape kits in cities all over the country that haven't been so like individually. She
does a lot.
She does she just so much. It's amazing. Yeah.
I follow her nonprofit actually on Instagram and I can't remember what it's called right now. It's like the Something Project, but
yeah, she's taken her platform and run with it. I don't necessarily know if the show has like really does it. I'm sure they have very special episodes where they really focus on the things that the actors care about, but you know, Law and Order, even though it pretends it's like, oh, we operate in a very gray world, Law and Order and Law and Order franchise shows see it rather black and white. Except Criminal Intent, which really is the gray zone and was the best Law and Order and should have been running for 20-something seasons. Jeff Goldblum
was in that one. Oh my god, yes.
I have an updated answer to a question.
Oh, okay, which one?
Someone asked about our favorite summer lip. And
do you have a new one?
It's tied with my answer was Glossier G Generation lipstick in Crush.
Mm-hmm.
But I woke up way too early. I was up at like 4:30 in the morning.
Are you a farmer?
No, I just woke up. Like, okay. Just like, ah, I woke up. I was playing away in the gym. My back hurt, and I couldn't go back to sleep. So I was looking through Facebook. Facebook targeted ad a company called PYT, and it was like it's their duo lipstick lip gloss thing.
Mm.
I really like it. It's hydrating. The only reason I got it was because they were running a promo where if you bought one, you could get three for the price of one. So I paid $18 for three different lipstick, lip gloss duo things. Yeah. And I really like them. They have five shades. I was wearing Bare All earlier. I was just wearing the lip gloss. It's already come off. But,
nice.
But which is pretty much matches my lips, but I'm also white, so if you're darker than white.
Why I laughed at that.
No, what I'm saying is that it might not be your actual nude lipstick color. Look at your nipple and figure that out yourself.
Yeah, look at your nipple. Get that MLBB. My lips but better. I get BoxyCharm every month, and the lip gloss they sent me.
What the fuck is that?
It's a subscription.
Okay.
But you get full size beauty products, and they do a lot of skincare too. And I've like honestly never been disappointed by a single one. They'll send you like really nice palettes, but I got a lip gloss from Dominique Cosmetics, which I've never even like heard of or paid attention to. But I'm into it. It's like perfect. Honestly, it's like the perfect color. The texture's great. It smells like delicious vanilla. It just looks so good. I really like it a lot. So yeah, we'll post an update on Instagram.
Yeah.
With those. And I found a good question. This is like a fun one that someone asked on one of the AMA Instagram slides.
Yeah, if you
Instagram
ask us
slides.
A question on a day we happen to be recording that we haven't answered, maybe we'll answer it now.
Who knows? Will you win the lottery?
Da-da-da!
I'm going to say this person's... Should I say their name? I don't know. I guess we answer them anonymously when we post them for people to read, so I'll keep it anonymous now. But I think the guy's first name is Brandon, so we'll just say your first name. Thanks, Brandon, for your question.
Thanks, Brandon, for your question. Thanks for listening.
Favorite cuisine, and to go along with that, favorite vacation location.
Oh, God. Brandon, that's so, okay.
He didn't realize how much he was overwhelming us.
Oh, yikes. My favorite vacation location, that's kind of a tongue, vacation location, say that five times fast. I just like going to the beach. I'm a beach gal. Anytime I can be in my swimsuit in a body of water is a happy time for me. Adrienne is not saying anything, but she's vigorously nodding her head.
Yes, I am. Well, because I'm going to say my thing after you say your thing. I'm not going to interrupt you.
and I really like the beach. Though, recently I went to Minneapolis to visit a friend. And
The mothership.
The mother.
That's what I was
and,
trying to say. My hometown.
And it's state. The, you know, it's the state. Minnesota is the state of a thousand, the land of a thousand lakes is like their tagline. Mm-hmm. And so he took us to a lake beach and it was really beautiful. I wish I could have gotten in the water, but he was like, it literally just thawed like a few weeks ago.
Do you know
it's
what
still
lake
probably
it was?
Really cold. I don't know.
Was it like north or were you like in Minneapolis?
We were in Minneapolis.
Okay. It was, I wonder, ooh, that would be so fun.
It was
if
like
it was
in a really,
it
was
to.
In a really fancy neighborhood.
Was there like a big, like old timey looking structure?
No.
Like, okay.
But also, maybe it was updated since the last time you went.
No.
But it was like...
There's
it,
this building like, called the Bandstand next
like,
to Lake Riker.
Like, really huge, big, beautiful houses.
I mean, it could have been, like... Well, I mean, in Minneapolis, around the lakes, like, they're kind of all big houses, because it's, like, prime real estate.
That's
so
fair.
You could be in, like, a pretty, you know, regular... fairly regular neighborhood and just still have these incredible mansions like facing the lake. Oh, I miss Minneapolis. I want to go back.
It was really fun. I really enjoyed myself. I would go back only during the summer.
Excellent.
It was enough that I was like, because he's lived there for 10 years now and I never really got it because I was like, it's cold and it snows so much. But it was enough like going during the summer. I was like, I maybe get it.
Look, they winter hard and they summer hard.
Yeah, that's what I kind of got. Minneapolis, you were cool. I'd go back.
Yay!
During the summer.
Win for Minnesota.
During the summer.
And what's your favorite cuisine?
Oh, God. I really... I mean, we kind of talked about the body shaming episode. The episode where we shame you for not being in love with your body.
There we go. That's appropriate.
In the body positive episode, but I'm a big girl. There's not a food that I really don't like.
Except for dairy.
I eat it, though, because if you're lactose intolerant... I guess
it's more appropriate to say it doesn't like you.
Yeah, if you're lactose intolerant and you still eat dairy, let us know, because that's my experience with all people who are lactose intolerant. They're like, dairy is so good, why would I give it up?
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know. I really like seafood. I'm from Maryland. Love crab cakes, like smoked fish, and just Jewish deli food. Give me a bagel with flax and cream cheese, and I'm a happy lady. I like almond. I like Thai food.
Mm. Yes.
I like dim sum. I like food. I like desserts, but mostly I like making them.
You're really good at it, too.
Thank you.
Y'all, Rachel's a fantastic baker. I'll do my cuisine first. I want to just say, like, honestly, pizza.
Oh, pizza's so good.
Pizza is, like, remember that you called me pizza slut when we first started hanging out?
Oh, I did!
Because every time you'd be like, hey, what are you doing? I was like, well, I'm eating pizza right now.
I sure did. I forgot about that.
I love pizza. I would put sushi as, like, a close second, but I just don't eat it as often because, like, you know, you got to go somewhere. It's expensive. But if I'm going to, like, go out to eat, sushi is probably going to be my number one choice. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I've got my favorite pizza place here in town, and I like to make pizza at home. I made a bomb-ass margarita pizza on Friday night. Oh, and for a vacation spot, I haven't actually done a proper vacation in a very long time. Last time I, like, had a vacation where I was, like, going on vacation was, like, actually the vacation I took when I still was working in the porn industry and went to,
Cabo San Lucas?
No, fuck, what is it? It's, like, just beyond, it's, like, the western coast of Mexico, but, okay, like, really far down south.
Okay, I don't know.
Baja? I don't remember. I'm sorry. I'm terrible at geography. Anyway, it was beautiful. It was lovely. There were signs up all over the beach that were like, don't go swimming because it'll kill you because the tide is so strong. But it was gorgeous. I also would consider myself a beach person, honestly. Like, I don't really care where. If it's a really pretty location that has a beach and a body of water, I'm quite happy. Yep. It could even be, like, a lake. Like, one thing that I really liked growing up, like, high school age and stuff in Texas, is that there's all these swimming holes in Central Texas. Ooh. So, and, like, when we were watching Teeth. We were watching, this is just backstory, and we gotta start wrapping this shit up, but I'm just gonna tell the story real quick. We were watching the movie Teeth. And the scene where she chops off the dick of her first victim.
She bites Hale out. Her vagina bites Hale Appelman's dick off.
Yeah. That scene is filmed at this swimming place called Krause Springs in Central Texas.
Which you immediately recognize.
Yeah. I immediately was like, I've been there. It's just this gorgeous, like, little lagoon. It's like a little swimming hole surrounded. There's a waterfall and there's just these big cypress trees everywhere. And it's really pretty. And that's kind of all over Central Texas, and there's just so many good places to swim. Little springs and streams and,
cool,
and just pools of water.
Nice.
Yeah.
So that's it for this very special summer episode. If you want to watch, if you want to be like, I want to watch this episode for myself so that I'm prepared for the next episode, the next one we're going to be watching is Season 9, Episode 13, Unorthodox. We're mostly watching it because this is one of the episodes that has a trial scene in it. Some of them don't. And the trial scene has to do with porn and media.
Very interesting.
It was very interesting.
Interesting indeed.
So thank you for listening. Don't forget to give us a review on whatever platform you use. Apple Podcasts. We're available on all of them. however you listen to your podcast.
Apple Podcasts is definitely the easiest way to review. Like, literally, you just click the link and
yeah,
it says write review.
We have a website, afteradult.com. We're also on Instagram. Please feel free to ask us anything and we'll answer things if you want. So thanks for listening.
Until next time.
Until next time.
We'll keep everyone updated. Woo!
No, I'm just kidding. That's my buffering podcast.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
they wolf out at the end.
Oh. They howl out. We could do that. Well, no, we just do sploosh.
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 Bye, guys. Sploosh.
Sploosh. Sploosh.